you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. Last week we were in the Old Testament. This week our message is going to piggyback off of last week just a little bit. If you remember, we focused on the Tower of Babel last week in Genesis 11, and we talked about rebellion and how the people had a choice, and they chose to rebel against God instead of trusting Him. And this morning we are going to look at a familiar text, maybe not as familiar as the Tower of Babel, but we are going to talk about the 12 spies. Now, I'm going to do a quick overview of Numbers chapter 13, but we will read chapter 14 here in a minute. But where we are in Scripture is, of course, after the Tower of Babel, God makes a decision. Instead of dealing with the whole world, He is going to deal with a person. He's going to make a holy nation. And so we see God call Abram, who would become Abraham. And from Abraham, we will eventually get the nation of Israel, which we see the focus on all through the Bible, especially the Old Testament. And so through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we see God making promises and keeping those promises and teaching those people how to live for Him. But of course, through the life of Jacob, we see that a choice was made by the descendants of Israel, which was, at this point, they're not millions yet. They're a small number of people. But they all went to Egypt because of the seven-year famine we see at the end of Genesis. They made the choice to go to Egypt and to stay there. And at first, they were honored guests. But eventually, over generations, they go from honored guests in Egypt to slaves. And when we see Exodus, we see now God is rising up Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And of course, by this point, we have millions of Israelites. Their whole life they've been slaves. And when they leave, we see in Numbers chapter 1 through 10, God teaching them how to live as a godly people. That's what God wanted. God wanted Israel to be a beautiful example of how you and I can live for God. And before they can go into the promised land, which is the land of Canaan, which remember, this is the same land that God called Abraham to, the same land that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in, but Jacob and his descendants left the promised land and went to Egypt and would become slaves. God is now calling them back to Canaan all these generations later. And these people, Israel, they never lived in Canaan. And yet God is telling them to go back. And so what we see in Numbers chapter 13, they're at the edge of the border. They're right there. They're exactly where God wants them to go. And God is wanting them to trust Him. But the people want to send spies. And so we see here 12 men were chosen. And two of these 12 are men that we're familiar with. Joshua, who would replace Moses, and Caleb. And these 12 would go into Israel, and they would see the beautiful land, and it's flowing milk and honey, and it's fertile, and all these things, but yet nothing is perfect. And we know there's complications. We know that there's warriors, and there's all the ites that you can imagine, the Jebusites, the Ammonites. There's all kinds of enemies. And even though God wants them to go into the promised land, it would be based upon their faith in God. And that is something that you and I can relate to this morning. When God leads us, is it ever easy? And the answer is no. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to follow, and it doesn't mean that God won't bless us and give us everything we need. But if we're honest, often when we're following God, it's not always easy. And do you know that that's on purpose often? Because we don't grow during the easy seasons of life. We've talked about that. We grow during the difficult seasons. Because that is when we can't trust ourselves. We can only trust in God. So these 12 spies, they go. They see all the good stuff. They see the bad stuff. They come back. And they're giving a report at the end of chapter 13. And 10 of them focus on the negative. 10 of the spies say, hey, yes, it's milk and honey. There's all these good things. But man, the enemies are huge. And they're going to kill us. There's no way that we can beat them. We cannot win. And then Caleb and Joshua says, hey, if God is leading, we can do this. And what we're going to read this morning in chapter 14 is a response of the people. So we see 10 spies saying, yes, it's good land, but there's no way we can do it. They're giving in to fear. And you have two spies, Joshua and Caleb. Yes, they see the challenges. Yes, they see the hardships. But they know God is working, and they're giving in to faith. The title over this message this morning is Faith Over Fear. And you've heard that before. It's on t-shirts, it's on all kinds of things. But that is a slogan that is powerful, it's based in Scripture, but often it's empty. What does it mean to have faith over fear? We're going to look at that this morning. So if you have your Bibles in Numbers chapter 14, I'd ask you to stand in honor of reading God's Word. And we're going to read beginning in Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Bow with me. Father, Lord, help us to understand the difference between faith and fear. Through your word, Father, Lord, speak to us. We ask this in your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The first thing we see in verses 1 through 4 is the people's fear. Now, I want us to understand there's millions of Israelites at this point. And so the 10 spies, they address the people, or at least the leaders of the people. Then the two spies, Caleb and Joshua, they speak to the people. And what we see in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 14 is their reaction. Now, the reaction that God was wanting is for them to say, hey, we have faith. Yes, there's going to be challenges. Yes, there's going to be struggles. Yes, there will be hardships. But the Lord is leading, the Lord is guiding, and the Lord is directing. And if the Lord wants us to enter the promised land, we will not fear. That's what God wants. And yet, is that what we see from the people, church? No. Look at verse 1. It says, the reaction here, I'm trying to read 15, that won't help you. So the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried, and the people wept that night. Now, once again, we're seeing they're unified. Last week, the people were unified in Genesis 11 to go against God, and now they're unified, everyone except Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb, all the rest of the people, they're unified in fear. They were so scared of what might happen. They were so scared that they might get defeated, that they might lose, that instead of trusting, instead of praying, we don't even see them praying to God. We see them giving in to fear automatically, crying out, weeping. Do we see any trust here in the Lord? Do we see any faith? No. Now, once again, is it easy for us to look at this and say, man, they should have done better? Of course it's easy for us to say. But fear is easy to give in to. Fear is easy to take over. And all the faith, all of the knowledge, all of the times where we've trusted God, it's easy to let all that go and say, you know what? My fear is greater than my faith. The people are crying out. The people are giving in to fear, worry, and dread. In verse 2, the scared people are now complaining to Moses and Aaron. Now, you might say, well, why Moses and Aaron? Well, they're the leaders. Moses is the overall leader, and Aaron's the high priest. And so the people know that Joshua and Caleb are under the umbrella of Moses and Aaron. So the people go to the leaders, and they start complaining. Now, I know that we don't have any complainers in here, amen? Truth is, one of my hidden talents in life is to complain. Don't ask my wife, she might testify. But if we're honest, we all complain. That is something that we can all do. And here, once again, the people are united. They're going to the leaders and they're complaining. Now, this is what's interesting. I want us to see what they complained about. It says here in the bottom of verse 2, if only we have died in the land of Egypt, or only if we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us out of this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Now, I want you and I to understand how crazy this is. Think about what they're saying. When they were in Egypt, they were complete slaves. They had no freedom. They were in a horrible situation. But now that they're facing adversity and a challenge and taking the land, they're saying, you know what? We're mad that God took us out of slavery. How dare God save us from the Egyptians? How dare God split the Red Sea and protect us? How dare God bless us time and time again in the wilderness and feed us and provide for us? He should have just let us die. We are better off going back to Egypt in slavery than trusting a God who's always provided. Now, church, does that make sense to you? No. But when we're complaining, are we rational? Not usually. I mean, normally when we're complaining, when we're scared, when we're angry, we don't make any sense. And that's what the people are doing. They're not praying about this. They're not trusting God. They're just simply giving in to their own desires. And they're saying, listen, it's better to be dead or slaves than to trust in an unknown future. Church, I don't know what your situation is today. Maybe you're going against an unknown future. Maybe right now you're praying about things. And there are some situations in your life that are unknown. It's like the land of Canaan. You know God wants you to go there, but if you're honest, you're scared. And you have a choice. You can either say, God, I don't want to trust you. I don't want to give in to the possibility of this being hard. I just want to do what I want. That's where the people are. They would rather go back to slavery, even die, than trust God. But they say something very interesting. They mention that they're scared about their wives and their children, and they don't want them to be victims here in verse 3. Well, I'm jumping ahead, but we know eventually, because of their fear, because of their doubt, they're going to have to wander the desert for 40 years. And do you know what happens to their wives? They all die. That first generation, all these people complaining, the adults, they're all going to die in the wilderness during those 40 years. And so the fears of the people here, because they didn't trust God, they're going to lose everything. The fear of the people separated them from what God wanted them to do. Verse 4, once again, the people here are unified. Let us select a leader and return to Egypt. They're right there, church. They are on the cusp of the promised land. And instead, they want to journey back to the people who would probably kill them. I mean, remember how they left Egypt. The Egyptians aren't going to give them a welcome feast. The Egyptians are going to work them so hard, they're going to die probably quickly and painfully. And yet, that's what the people want. And you might say, Tyler, that is absolutely crazy. No one in their right mind would ever want that. I don't know. Sometimes we go back to some pretty crazy things in our lives. Sometimes, because we're so scared of the unknown, we go back to horrible things in our lives that only hurts us and only destroys us, but we go back because at least we know those situations and we're scared to trust. The second thing we see this morning is the few with faith. We mentioned four names, Moses and Aaron, and then Caleb and Joshua. We see here Moses and Aaron, their reaction to this, to all the complaining, they fall before the congregation. Now you might say, well, what are they doing? They're submitting themselves not to the people, but to God. This is what the people should have done from day one. When we see the bad report from the 10 spies, the nation of Israel should have fell on their knees and they should have prayed to God. And here, when Moses and Aaron is faced with a hard situation, instead of giving in to anger, we see them going to the Lord. We see them submitting their lives. And then we see Caleb and Joshua, the two spies who trust. We see them tear their clothes, which is a sign of mourning. And Caleb once again tries to speak reasonable here to the people. Look here what he says. In verse 6, we see that he's crying out. And he says in verse 7, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us." He doesn't say we're going to get there because we're so good, we have the military power, Moses is the best leader ever. He says if God wants this, he will lead us. This isn't Caleb simply being a yes man to Moses. This is Caleb trusting God over everything else. In this whole text, the thing that stands out to me the most is the faith of Caleb. Because Caleb's not a major character we see in Scripture. We see Moses a lot. We see Joshua. But Caleb is only seen a few times. But here, he is crying out to the people. He's saying, listen, I know you're scared, but we have to trust God. God can lead us. In verse 9, this is his plea to the people. "Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread." There's two things. Do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people. We talked about rebelling a lot last week. To rebel against the Lord is to run from him. And then Caleb says, don't run from God, but don't fear the people. Because the moment Israel starts to fear the people, where is their focus? God or the people of Canaan? The people of Canaan. See, the truth is, if we're struggling with something in our lives, our focus can't be on God and our problem. We have to pick one. We have to choose, are we going to focus on God, or are we going to focus on our issues? Are we going to focus on how bad this situation is? And here, we see very clearly, Caleb is saying, I know what's going to mess you up. I know what's going to take you away from God. It's running away from God, and it's being so scared of the people, you're not focused on him. And you know what? Caleb is spot on. And then, of course, "for they are our bread." Now, this is interesting, but studying this, what he is saying here is God is going to deliver all of these enemies, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Amalekites, all of these fierce warriors. God is going to deliver them to us. We all know the story of David and Goliath. Goliath was a fierce warrior. The Bible calls him a giant. He's a huge man. And David was a shepherd boy. He wasn't a warrior yet. He wasn't a soldier yet. But he stood in front of Goliath. And instead of David giving in to his fear, like all the other soldiers, he gave in to his faith. And because he was so focused on the Lord, he didn't see a giant. He saw God's hand upon him, and he was not scared of what was in front of him. In the same situation, Caleb is not oblivious to the hardships, but instead of Caleb giving in to fear, he is giving in to faith. And Caleb is saying, I trust God more than I'm worried about these people. And that is what God wants from you and I today. He doesn't want us to be oblivious, but he wants us to be faithful. The end of Caleb's speech here. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Bold, clear words from Caleb. Once again, this is a crossroads moment for Israel. What will Israel do? Will they listen to Caleb and give in and trust God? Faith over fear? Or will they give in to fear over faith? Let's look at verse 10, the third and final point this morning, giving into fear. We see the people's reaction. Once again, do they fall before the Lord? Do they pray? Do they worship? No. Verse 10 tells us that all the congregation, once again, remember, they're unified. I keep saying that because it's not 20% of the people. It's not 40%. It's the whole group. Fear and dread is a virus. When we start complaining, when we start doubting, then guess what? It spreads. And now the whole congregation of Israel is against what God wants to do. The whole congregation said to stone them. This is Caleb and Joshua with stones. So instead of trusting, their reaction is, well, I guess we got to kill them. There's no choice. They're not going to stop trusting God. They're not going to stop convicting us, because every time Caleb and Joshua spoke the truth, do you know what the people felt? They felt conviction. Just like when you and I, when we're saved and when we're living in sin, do you know what the Holy Spirit does over and over again? It convicts you. Because the Lord wants us to repent of that sin and to come back. And so every time Caleb spoke, the people were convicted because they knew they were in sin. They could have asked for forgiveness. They could have got right with the Lord. God would have forgave them. God would have blessed them. And God would have led them. Now, I want us to understand, would it have been easy if they would have went into Canaan? No. But God would have blessed them. Often when we are at that moment, when we're at the cusp of where God has led us, I don't ever want us to think that's always going to be easy. But if God is leading us, here's the thing. The same God who created this world, the same God who's done miracles, the same God that sent Jesus to die for us, that same God is with you and I. And if he is leading us to it, then listen, church, he will lead us through it. He's not going to take a break. He's not going to lead us to failure. Yes, it might be hard. Yes, we might fall. Yes, we'll be challenged. But God is faithful. And we see here that instead of the people believing that, they just wanted to stop Caleb from talking. They just wanted to kill him. They knew that Caleb was right. But instead of doing what was hard, they chose to do what was easy. At the bottom of verse 10, we see something very important. Remember last week when the people built the tower? They thought nothing could stop them. But the Lord came down, didn't he? And he shut it down quickly. Well, look here. The people are getting ready to stone the leadership. And it says, now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. God stopped it. Once again, when the people rebelled, when the people is giving in to fear, God's watching everything. Same way in our lives, when we struggle with fear over faith, when we struggle with trusting, do you know that God is with us? God is watching. God is faithful. God is right there when we are going through that choice. And listen, church, it is a choice. Fear or faith. Now, it's easy to say, well, I have faith over fear. When I came here to Salem, my office, it says that on the back of my wall. faith over fear. And someone asked me, they said, hey, I mean, we can, you know, paint the wall, we can paint over that. I love that. Because when I walk into my office, I'm reminded that faith over fear doesn't just happen. You and I, we don't just wake up having faith in our lives. That is a choice that we have to make. Every day, moment by moment often, we have to choose, will our fear outweigh our faith, or will our faith in God outweigh our fear? Before we close this morning, I want to talk about consequences. Every decision we make have consequences. Israel made a choice. They decided they were not going to go in the promised land. And God accepted their choice. And he made them wander in the desert for 40 years until that whole generation died. And then he brought them in. 40 years they wandered because of their fear, their doubt, their stubbornness, and their dread. Maybe you're in a season of going through the wilderness this morning. Maybe you know God is working and God wants you to do something, but it's hard. There's always consequences when we say no to God. God won't bless us unless we are where God wants us to be. If you and I want the hand of God upon us, we must follow as he leads. Is it going to be easy, church? No. It's going to be hard. That's one reason why God gave us a church family, so that we don't have to do this on our own. We can have brothers and sisters in the faith to listen, to counsel, to pray, to encourage, and to love on us. And we need that. This whole, hey, I'm saved, but I'm going to be a solo Christian. Well, you can do that, but there's a reason why the Bible shows the church. There's a reason why Jesus started the church, because we need each other. But we need to be a church of faith, not fear. The people here gave in to fear, and it spread, and it cost them everything. Now, I don't know this, but I like to think about this as I study God's word. What do you think the people were thinking in those 40 years when person after person, mama after mama, daddy after daddy dies and they just bury them in the sand? How often do you think they go back to this moment here and think, we should have just trusted? We should have just submitted to God. Why were we so scared? Why did we doubt? Why did we just not trust? See, we can live with that doubt if we're not careful. We can look back on the moments of our lives when God leads us to the crossroads and says, here's what I want. What are you going to do? Church, let's not live with regret. Let's submit to him and say, Lord, I don't like this. I don't know what's coming, but you lead and I'll follow. Bow with me. Dear Lord, Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, Father, knowing that you are real. Father, knowing that you are above all. Lord, you've always been. And Father, you will always be. Lord, you know us. Father, you know our struggles. Lord, you know our hardships, our fears. Lord, you know where you want us to go and what's stopping us. And this morning, we pray for faith over fear. We pray that we can trust you more than we give into the doubts. Lord, it's not easy. We know Satan whispers in our minds and in our hearts that we're going to fail and we're going to fall. And there's so many reasons not to trust. But Lord, you're with us. Father, and you allow us to freely choose. And this morning, help us to have boldness. Help us to have trust. But most importantly, Lord, help us to have faith that you are enough. Whatever you're leading, however you're leading, Lord, let us follow. We ask this in your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If you will stand with me.